Hi all, and welcome back to the final hour. I'll bring Drake back in a minute. We have Dr. Aiden. We've managed to sort out his Skype issue, and he'll be on shortly. And also there's a couple of things on the page I need would like to address, and this is my personal opinion. I would think Drake would support it. This is Cosmic Voice. And we used to have two shows, and I know one or two complain when we talk about ETs. When you find out the bigger picture, and the real bigger picture, and then there's another layer, and another layer, you wouldn't be so discrediting of it. There's a massive war going on this planet, most of which has never been revealed. I may ask Tanath to come on and discuss that with Drake and I at a later date, but it's running side by side with the ground war. Yes, we're about freedom and getting, but it's not about freedom from Cabal, it's also about freedom from upstairs. And whether people like that reality or they don't, this is what we're facing. I hinted at it earlier. And you have to understand it, there's so many layers attached to what's going on. It's frightening in certain aspects, but you can't discount it because you're uncomfortable with it or you only want to deal with the easier issues. It's all encompassing. And on that note, I'm going to hand you back to Drake and I'll get Dr. Aiden to come on. Right, there we go. Drake, are you there?
Oh, I'm always here, wherever that might be. Sometimes I sneak out in the Twilight Zone or something. It varies. Yeah, there's, yeah, I fully agree. I mean, these beings, these evil entities that appear as beings of light have screwed things up thoroughly, quite honestly. And this goes to the continual conflict and wars and whatnot that I've been involved with to a minor degree, I'd guess. The gist of it is simple. There's no way that you're going to get around the facts. Now, you can go ahead and don't worry about it now, but it's coming up. Now, one of the things that is that we're looking at is that when we get to a certain point here on this planet and do certain things, you'll get to meet these ETs we've been talking about that don't exist. And then you can judge for yourself. Shake hands with a couple of them, and I think you might change your mind. I have that on fairly good authority. Now, that does not mean that all of them will have your best interests in mind. Why? Well, they're advanced. That's first. And some of them, irrespective of what they're supposed to be, do not look on us favorably. I can't help that at this point, but I think and believe, honestly, that as we go down this long, lonely road, that everybody's going to have the situation handed to them of reaching out of the darkness. Now, you've been lied to by just about everybody, and I'm not going to do that. This situation is not only absolutely real, but it is more critical than most understand, and that includes people who are active within ET realms. The situations, both here on the ground and upstairs, are basically coming to the point of being critical. Now, by that I mean that at a certain point, we here on the ground, the reality of us, we're going to have to decide whether we go or stay. I think that the yay, nay, go, or stay situation is a lot closer than people think. However, there are people at high levels doing things, accomplishing things, that will change a majority of that. That does not mean everything's going to be done for you. That means that you're going to have to stand up too. So we just have to go from there, and, you know, as that unfolds, you're going to start meeting ET. Real simple. The reason I know this is because I'm an ambassador. Okay?
Right. Okay, thanks for that, Drake. You know, this is part of the show. As I say, it's Cosmic Voice. We used to have the two shows. Sadly, we only have the one. So we mainly covered the ground war now, and that was a deliberate attempt to do so. But we cannot ignore what is going on and playing out behind the scenes currently. And there is a lot going on. Right. Dr. Aiden.
Yes.
Hi, sir. The cameras have been messing with your Skype, sir.
Yeah, cyber troopers were pretty busy this morning, but I got better cyber troopers.
That's good. Right, we probably won't have time to go over certain things, but we'll see how we go. There's a few questions to do with the sites and general ones, and maybe another date we can go in and cover the mortgages like we were going to do.
Right.
You know, with it's we've got what 40 minutes left, so we'll see how we go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right, an easier one for you to start off with. Could you please give us a bit more explanation as to how the sovereignty of Hawaii relates to jobs throughout the U.S.?
The sovereignty of the Kingdom of Hawaii, how those jobs relate
to the U.S.?
Well, we have nothing to do with the U.S. corporation. We have nothing to do with the U.S. municipal, state, county, or federal government. We're just going to tell them that we are equipped and empowered to take charge of what we temporarily lost. So the question is vague in the sense that how does our jobs, you mean, okay, I think I understand what the question is. If you work for the Kingdom of Hawaii, yeah, will you be paying federal income taxes? Is that the question you
think? No, I think if there's positions within SAIS, within the U.S. Currently, does it relate to the sovereignty of Hawaii?
SAIS is working in conjunction with the Kingdom of Hawaii.
Yeah.
So when you work for SAIS, you are indirectly working for the Kingdom of Hawaii. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, thanks.
And I can tell you that there will be no income taxes, sales taxes, corporate taxes. That's some of the things we're discussing with the kingdom's people. Because we want to do something different. Okay, go ahead. Let's move on to the next question.
Right. When will we be hearing something about the resumes? If you can answer that question, please.
Very, very soon. I don't want to get into specifics because the funding is here. The funding is already on deposit. I cannot reveal too much. But I know it'll happen within 30 to 45 days. I know that for a fact. Now, before I go on, to those of you who are sending resumes and applications, do not, and I repeat, do not send any more emails or resumes to sovereignsouls@yahoo.com. Let me repeat that in English. Do not send any more resumes or applications to an email address that was called sovereignsouls@yahoo.com. That is no longer a functional email address.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there an opportunity for people in other countries to come to the kingdom for work? And if so, how will immigration to the kingdom be dealt with?
Yeah, you're more than welcome. If you're in another part of the world, we will make sure that all your immigration headaches are aspirined out. In other words, you will, you won't have any immigration headaches because you'll be dealing with your passport and the Kingdom of Hawaii's immigration department.
Right. That's
interesting. Yes. We'll cross that bridge when we get there because we'll have border guards on both sides of the bridge. There's nothing to worry.
Right. This is a general question, and this person sent it in. He says, I have some very serious reservations about this entire issue that Dr. Aidan is a bar member, which is a foreign agent of the British Crown. Mm-hmm. Second, the assertion that the court does not recognise any territorial jurisdiction limitations as a court of equity with no borders or boundaries. This is suspiciously right. parallel to the globalist agenda. Can you answer that,
valid,
please?
Very valid question. I kept my bar license, the federal bar license, simply because I had to go and get some clients out of their satanic system. But once we get size in the Kingdom of Hawaii going, I'll be having a bonfire where I'll be burning up all these stupid certificates and diplomas and bar licenses. Listen, it's very simple, okay?
Yep.
I am answerable to my God. And I'll tell you this, for the last 20 years, I've been fighting the system. If you are suspicious or if you have any doubt, please stay out. Very simple. We are transparent. I have my website. It's all there. So I have a reason to keep my bar cards, like I'm going to mention again.
Yeah.
Once we get this up and running, I won't need any of these bar cards anymore. Okay?
Yes. Thank you for answering that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asking, is it incorrect to call, or is it correct to call the indigenous people of North America Aboriginal? I think this has kind of been covered before. That's the original term, is it not?
There are so many terms that people have used. One of the ones that I noticed nobody has heard of, but they have heard of everything else, is the word autochthon, A-U-T-O-C-H-T-O-N. Autochthon, A-U-T-O-C-H-T-O-N. They all mean one and the same thing. Like if I call you stupid and I call you an idiot and I call you a moron, you're still a stupid, idiotic moron. So I don't know why people have this love affair. Like we had an argument the other day. Oh, justice is different and equity is different.
Yeah.
And I told this guy a couple of ribald, I told him some risque jokes because they don't understand that indigenous, native, autochthon, aboriginal, aborigine, it's Latin for from the beginning. Now, some people may think, oh, are you trying to tell me I'm a caveman?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to, what word do you want? Tribal. I've had issues with the word tribal. Tribal literally means a community of people who believe in the same values or who share the same values. So indigenous may have connotations, but if you are, for example, a native of Hawaii, meaning you were a member of that community before Cook's arrival, so do you want to call yourself indigenous? Do you want to call yourself aboriginal? Do you want to call yourself native? Do you want to call yourself an autochthon? The only meaning to that is that you were originally born and bred there since time immemorial, like the American Indians. They're not Indians. I'm an Indian, full-blooded Indian, FBI. My father and mother are from India. So now in America, when I say I'm an Indian, oh, you don't look Apache. So, what do you do?
Yeah, it's political correctness gone mad.
Well, exactly. It's political correctness. I would rather go for autochthon. Check out the word, A-U-T-O-C-H-T-O-N. So it all means the same thing that, like, for example, if you're Anglo-Saxon and let's say Cook married a Hawaiian and a recognized marriage, customary marriage, and now he had a child in 1795, now the question arises, is that child a native of Hawaii? Yes. Is the child an Aboriginal? No, because the father is Anglo-Saxon and the mother is what? What do you use now? Indigenous, autochthon, native, Aboriginal?
So you can't keep track of it. And they just seem to, I think it's all designed to part of the control system, this political correctness, and they channel people into single words. That doesn't. We had this issue in back in England. You know, you had to call all what was then known as coloured people, and then that got banned. And then they called everyone black, which upset the Chinese and upset the Asians. But it's all designed to confuse and control, and it's best that people don't focus on it.
Well, that's because you had a madman called Enoch Powell those days. That anything that wasn't Anglo-Saxon or Norman was considered evil, if you remember Enoch Powell. Now we have another word, two words, citizen and denizen. D-E-N-I-Z-E-N and C-I-T-I-Z-E-N. So the meaning of the word citizen and denizen is also depending on which side of the political divide you're endorsing or subscribing to, you know.
Is it not a citizen related to the corporate structure?
Well, even the word citizen, it has an ambiguous root etymologically. I mean, we don't know how these words, I mean, we can. If we do enough research, we can find out how these words came into being. Yeah. But again, it's all about political correctness. If you're a citizen of West Virginia, are you a citizen of the United States? Now, in 1925, the cable guys, the cabalists, and the oligarchs, they said all Native Americans are now citizens of the United States. Wrong answer, because the law says you must take an oath of allegiance before you become a citizen. As far as I know, no Hopi, Apache, or Cherokee, Comanche, Sioux, Pembina, nobody. Nobody took an oath of office. I mean, nobody took an oath of allegiance. So now, are you automatically a citizen? The government says you are. Native Americans say to hell with you. I never took an oath of allegiance. If you read up the Indian Naturalization Act, it says you become a citizen when you take an oath of allegiance. So if I don't take an oath of allegiance, I'm not a U.S. citizen?
Fine. That means you're not part of the corporate structure.
Exactly. So there's a lot of ambiguity, confusion, all wrought by the system so that they can tie you up in a Gordian knot. And how do you unravel it? How do you, you know, pull it asunder?
Yes, right. Next question for you. My husband and I lost our home and our entire life savings in 2008-2009.
Mm-hmm.
We also had to give up our medical insurance, even though we had always been covered our entire lives. Are there any class action lawsuits we can join, or in any other way can we try to recoup some of our losses?
Well, I still have 38 cases that were brought to me by the Republic of the United States, led by Tim Turner. I was promised 10,000, 20,000 people. I ended up with 38 people. And then I heard from one quarter of the population that, oh, some people are very upset with me because I did nothing. Well, I did file in my ecclesiastical tribal court, but I didn't have the numbers. Yes, there is a class action suit ongoing. So to this couple, I say to you, email me that APN number, the address of the property, the name of the snake or the name of the bankster who evicted you, and give me details of how much you paid and how much equity you had, and I'll add you on to the list. So contact me at my usual email address. We can fix it. You see, the way I'm fixing this is, like, for example, in California, you have the dreaded California Civil Code 2924, which says that a foreclosing or an evicting entity can evict you even if they don't possess title to your property or the mortgage note. So being a non-judicial foreclosure state, the clerk of the court signs off on a trustee sale. Now, the question I have raised in court, which stops the judges on their tracks, is this. All right, Judge so-and-so, you want to give Bank of America relief? How can you give them relief when you are saying that it's okay to do a trustee sale based on a non-judicial foreclosure sale? You took an oath of office to uphold and protect and abide by the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. Now, a non-judicial foreclosure sale, if you connect the dots and if you're with me all along, a non-judicial foreclosure sale is an affront to the 14th Amendment's due process and equal protection of the laws. So I'm telling the judge, wait a minute. You are going to give relief to the creditor because they have invoked an unconstitutional law? And the judge goes, yeah. And I go, no, stupid. You can't call me that. I'm a judge. I call you stupid. You call me stupid if I'm saying something stupid. How can you okay or sign off a favorable judgment for Bank of America or Wells Fargo, any of these idiots, when you're violating the very oath of office you took? And that kind of, that sort of a, wait a minute, what are you telling me? Well, I'm telling you, you're stupid because it's a political question. They have to fix California Civil Code 2924 before you can give relief. It's a political question. It's not something for the judiciary. Oh, so what do you want me to do? I want you to do nothing until the legislature changes the law. Because your job is to interpret the law. You cannot legislate from the bench. You are not a politician in robes. That's the way we are stopping foreclosures.
Yes.
So this couple, go ahead, send me that email, and I'll email you, and we'll show you how to get involved in that lawsuit. What we're going to do is we're going to use the what's known as the Uniform Money Judgments, Uniform Money Judgments Recognition Act of 1963, when we sell these judgments to a bank in Hong Kong, and you'll get 45 cents on the dollar.
All right, thanks for that. Next question. Mm-hmm. Is the secured party creditor process a useful approach, and how could we be granted immunity from a de facto government legislation through the use of international law? How do we go about receiving this recognition, or can all this just be much more simplified?
Well, secured party creditor, you are in theory a secured party creditor by virtue of your birth certificate, by virtue of your social security number, what have you. Now, willy-nilly, whether you like it or not, you are in their jurisdiction. Yeah. So all you need to do is either claim a tribal jurisdiction or an ecclesiastical jurisdiction. So that way you are no longer functioning in your jurisdiction to invoke your rights as a sui generis person. You cannot invoke your sovereign rights while you're still in the system, while you still contract with the government. Well, you still contract with them to get their driver licenses. You still contract with them. So that is the rub If not, debt is how they trap you. So you have to be very careful about the jurisdiction you are.